Canadian Broadcasting Corporation presents the third of a five-part series based on Pierre Burton's book, Klondike. Prepared for radio by Bill Fraser. Produced and directed by Fred D.L. With original music composed and conducted by Tommy Banks. And starring the author himself as our host and guide, writer, broadcaster, Pierre Burton.
The legal and social customs of American and Canadian frontier mining camps have pointed up the very real differences between the two national temperaments. The American liked to run his affairs from the ground up. The Canadian often preferred law and order imposed from above. These twin concepts, one stressing order and often caution, the other freedom and sometimes license, met head-on during the greatest of all international stampedes.
Klondike, by Pierre Burton. Part 3, The Incredible Soapy Smith.
Well, as I live and breathe, if it isn't Jefferson Randolph Smith, America's leading bunco artist. How you doing, Soapy?
Well, Mr. Loomis. Ex-Sheriff Loomis, yeah. And how are you, Willis?
Not bad at all. Yes, you heard correctly. My career as a lawman has passed. Temporarily, at least. A small matter of a prisoner that walked out of a jail. Citizens formed a committee. Their accusations hurt me deeply. I left town somewhat hastily. Caught up to the former prisoner, and we came to Seattle together.
Well, you always were one of my favorite lawmen, Willis. Probably because I've always found you a reasonable sort.
Well, it's nice of you to say that, Sophie. Say, what do you think of the stampede of the Klondike for gold?
Wonderful. Simply wonderful. Personally, I've always had a great fondness for the yellow metal.
Don't tell me you're thinking of going north to that godforsaken country.
Yeah, on the next boat.
Good Lord, man. What do you intend to do when you get there?
My friend, Skagway, Alaska is the gateway to the Klondike goldfields. I am going to be boss of Skagway. I know exactly how to do it. And if you come along, I'll make you chief of police.
Sorry, Soapy. A team of mules couldn't drag me to Alaska, but thanks for the offer. Hey, what was it you said you're going to be?
The boss of Skagway.
The differences between the frontier mining camps of Canada and the United States can be seen in the differences between the town marshal or county sheriff, elected on the spot by a vote of the local populace, and the mounted policeman appointed from a distance by a federal authority. In the British Columbia gold rushes, the ones that preceded the Klondike, constabulary and courts of justice enforced a single set of laws in the British colonial tradition. In the Rocky Mountain camps of the United States, each community had its own customs and rules made on the spot. The American prospector, with his long tradition of free frontier life, smarted under any restriction imposed from above. He packed a gun, and he often found himself a member of a vigilante movement. The Canadian was not allowed to carry a gun, but then he had the mounted police to protect him. Now, the Klondike Stampede was essentially a mass movement of Americans pouring across the international border into Canadian territory. On one side of that border, in places like Skagway, Alaska, for instance, freedom and also anarchy. On the other side, security and also a form of military dictatorship.
Ooh, dirty night.
Yeah. How long have you been stationed in the Yukon, Alan?
4 months. It's your first posting.
Yeah.
White Pass is a hell of a place to start your service.
Why is that?
Well, as you can see, the comfort's aren't exactly like home.
But the real trouble is from just across the border there. Gang that runs Skagway. Always giving us trouble.
Evening, Sergeant.
Sir. Superintendent Steele, this is Constable Jones, his first posting.
Jones?
Sir?
You've been filling him in, Sergeant, I trust?
Yes, sir. I was just telling him what a bad lot they are down in Skagway.
Yes, the whole place is rotten, Jones. Typical example of American lawlessness carried on in the name of democracy. As Northwest Mounted Police, it's our job to see that that rottenness doesn't spread across the border into British territory.
Yes, sir. Who's to blame for this mess up in Skagway, sir?
The corrupt American system, Jones. And a character they call Soapy Smith.
On Alaska Territory, during the hectic days of 1897 and 1898, there was no organized machinery of government to speak of. Rule was by local committees, sometimes wise, sometimes capricious, always summary. On the Canadian side, there was, if anything, too much government, as the graft in Dawson City was to demonstrate. But there was also, at every bend of the river, the uniformed and strangely comforting figures of the Northwest Mounted Police. They were gallant young men with their aquiline profiles and soft accents that hinted at their backgrounds. The majority of them were English, younger sons of well-to-do families seeking adventure and service in the outposts of empire. They seldom raised their voices, almost never drew their guns, and rarely had to give an order twice. Dawson City, a Canadian town, didn't have either a murder or a single case of major theft in 1898. On the other hand, Skagway on the U.S. panhandle was a haven for thieves, killers, crooked lawmen, and above all, confidence men.
Howdy, partner. Well, I just got in a week ago. I'm heading for the Klondike. I guess we're what they call chechakos. Means greenhorn.
Guess that's what I am, all right. It's all sort of strange. Sure don't know my way around Skagway yet.
Well, I've only been here a short time myself. But I'd be glad to show you around, give you all the help I can.
Well, that's very good of you. I appreciate that.
The name's Joe.
Oh, glad to know you. Mine's Tom.
Anything I can do for you, Tom, just holler. Oh,
thanks. I was wondering how a fella could go about getting his gear over the pass. Well,
same problem myself. They tell me there's an information bureau down the street. Place where we can get maps, information, weather forecasts, things like that. Well, why don't we go and see what we can find out?
Well, sounds like a good idea. Let's go. Guess maybe this is a lucky day for me, meeting a friend, first day in town.
Goes both ways, Tom. This just might be my lucky day, too. Here we are. This must be it. Says Information Bureau on the door, anyway. Excuse me. Are you the boss around here?
I'm the manager, yes. What can I do for you, gentlemen?
Well, my friend and I are going over the pass soon. We're heading for the Klondike. We'd like to get all the information we need to help us.
Why, of course. That's our business. If you'll both just fill out these forms.
Forms?
Yes. You see, before we can provide you with exact information, exact, you understand, to save you the most in time and money, we require you to fill out these simple forms.
I see. Well, I guess that's okay, Tom.
I guess so. Sure.
Well, just read them over carefully, and if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. And here we have a map for each of you. No charge. And a weather forecast chart, free.
Thanks. I see here you want to know the size of my outfit.
That's right.
Well, I can understand that, but... Well, the next line here. Why do you want to know the amount of ready cash I have on hand?
Oh, well, you see, we must know about that so that we might help you plan your spending wisely. We advise on prices in Dawson, as well as here in Skagway. Border restrictions, everything you need.
Oh, I see.
What do you think, Joe?
I guess it's all right.
You understand, gentlemen, it'll take about a week to process your files. We're terribly busy and getting behind. I'm sorry, but it's the best we can do.
Well, that'll be all right with me. Joe?
Yeah, I guess so. A week ain't too long to wait.
Good. Just complete those forms and I'll get right at it. Wow, back already, Joe?
Yep.
Get rid of the sucker?
For now.
Nice work. We got all the information on him we need. He's pretty well healed.
You and the boys should be able to help him lose it at one of our joints.
Yeah, shouldn't be hard.
Soapy will be proud of you.
The American Miners' Meeting had the power of life and death over the members of the community. It could hang a man, give him a divorce, imprison, banish, or lash him. Any prospector could call a meeting simply by posting a notice. An elected chairman performed the function of judge, while the entire meeting acted as jury. This was grassroots democracy, unrestricted by any authority from above. Sometimes it amounted to little more than vigilante justice. It could also provide a climate which encouraged a demagogue like Soapy Smith. In Skagway, Smith used methods that were remarkably similar to those adopted by later European dictators to control the community. He organized his own committee from among his followers. He raised his own army, operated his own spy system and secret police. And he managed to keep the press, the clergy, the business community, and the lawmakers always under his thumb.
Sent for me, sir?
Inspector Wood. Yes, I did. Come in and close the door, will you? Wood, we have a problem on our hands.
Just one?
No, this one is king size. We have now collected the grand sum of $150,000 in customs duties from the miners that have come through here.
That much?
I'm afraid so. Now, of course, we have to get it to the bank in Victoria.
Victoria?
Mm-hmm.
That means we have to take it through Skagway.
That, Inspector Wood, is our problem.
Could be a bit tricky.
Indeed, it could. What the? Right outside the window here. I better look into this.
Sergeant, go see what that was all about.
Yes, sir.
And report back to me.
Right away, sir.
I can't see anything out the window.
Oh, what a country this is. Now then, Wood, as you were saying, getting this money through Skagway could be tricky.
Very. Particularly if Soapy Smith and his crowd get wind of it.
Yes, well, I'm glad you realize that, Wood. Because you are the one who is going to take this bundle to Victoria.
Me?
Yes, you. Inspector Zachary Taylor Wood of the Northwest Mounted Police. Grandson of a former United States president. You. Anyway,
Excuse me, sir.
What is it, Sergeant?
An American, sir. Said he was cleaning his gun when he went off accidentally. I think it's one of Soapy Smith's men, sir.
I was afraid of that. Arrest him, lock him up, and go through his things.
Yes, sir.
Oh, someday, Soapy Smith.
Any ideas?
This is what I think we should do. I'll spread the story that you are being transferred back to the prairies, and that you're taking only baggage and boatmen. We'll stuff the gold and banknotes into kit bags, and you and your men will go over the Chilkoot Pass.
Chilkoot?
Hmm?
Well, why not White Pass? It's closer.
Yeah, I know it is. But I don't think we should risk going that way. It means you would have to go directly through Skagway, and I don't trust that Soapy Smith as far as I can throw him.
Mm.
No, I think it best that you go through Dyea, then by boat across the bay to the steamer that will be anchored in Skagway Harbor. It's called the Tartar. I'll get word to the captain that you're coming.
Oh, I see.
Any questions?
No, I don't think so. You seem to have it worked out very well.
Yeah. Well, Sergeant, what did you find out?
He had a complete thimble rig outfit and some Monte cards on him, sir. Mm. One of our constables recognized him as one of Soapy Smith's men.
I see. Where is he now?
Right outside the door, sir. I thought you might want to talk to him.
Oh, good. Bring him in here.
Yes, sir. Constable Jones, bring the prisoner in.
Now, see here, sir. I must protest. I am an American citizen. And I'll have you know that you can't lock up a citizen of the United States of America and get away with it. My God, sir. The Secretary of State himself will hear about this.
I see. What's your name?
My name? Sir, my name is Trevor Gardner. And I am a bona fide citizen of the United States.
Yes, of course you are. And since you are an American citizen, I shall have to be lenient with you.
Well, now, that's more like it, sir.
I'll just confiscate everything you have on your possession and give you 1/2 hour to be on your way back to Alaska.
But see here, sir. It's 22 miles to American soil. And it's all uphill.
Then you'd better get started.
Soapy Smith was not one to miss any opportunity, and so it was not surprising, when the Spanish-American War broke out, that he should appoint himself Captain of Company A, 1st Regiment, National Guard of Alaska, and begin recruiting soldiers for service in the Philippines. Soapy was now at the point in his life when he wanted more than mere money. He wanted homage as well. Besides this, it gave him an excuse to arm and drill a disciplined force under his command. The wave of patriotism which followed the sinking of the Maine decided many of the stampeders to forsake the gold fields for the service of their country, and so they wound up in a Skagway tent bearing the sign, United States Army Recruiting Office. Inside, they were enrolled for service, congratulated on their patriotism, and then hustled in the back for a medical examination. And while a fake doctor looked them over, their discarded clothing was rifled for valuables. If they protested, they were thrown out in the street in their underwear. Soapy even went so far as to organize the greatest demonstration Skagway had ever seen. He marched at the head of his military procession that stretched for 2 blocks while a cheering crowd paid, many of them wearing badges which read, Freedom for Cuba, Remember the Maine, compliments of the Skagway Military Company, Jeff Smith, Captain. And on the rostrum, an effigy of the Spanish general of Cuba swung in the breeze.
There is one man who in this terrible strife has transcended the bounds of fair war. He has murdered the helpless and the weak, debauched women, butchered and starved little children. Mr. Chairman, we have this man with us today. I have him here, and we will now proceed to hang and butcher him.
Few at that moment doubted that Soapy Smith was the benefactor of Skagway, its guiding light, the symbol of its honor and its pride, and the emblem of its future prosperity.
There now. That should do it.
What you got there, Soapy?
That, my friend, is a letter from the Secretary of War himself, thanking me for my patriotism.
Well, I don't blame you for framing it.
I am going to hang it up right over the bar there for all to see. That should show the good people of this community that I am much more than a tinhorn gambler.
Oh, I don't think anyone takes you for a tinhorn, Soapy. But if you are beginning to think that you run this town for yourself and not for the people.
Yes. Well, I have a few ideas that might change their minds. I must get more and better press.
Yeah. But how?
Bowers, there is nothing to grab the heartstrings of people like widows and dogs. Show the people that you care about widows and dogs, and they get all choked up. That will show everyone that I, Soapy Smith, have a civic conscience and have the best interests of this town at heart. Ah, Gardner, you're back. What did you find out?
That it's a hell of a long walk up that pass. I got caught, but I talked my way out.
So they made you walk home. Well, what did you find out?
You were right.
They're fixing to ship that customs money to Victoria right away.
Right away? Well, now, the only ship coming in here in the next few days is the Tartar. They must be going to make that.
You want us to set up an ambush at White Pass?
And what makes you think that they'll come that way?
Always do. Everybody does.
Yes, but those Mounties are smart. They might just try to fool us. Take the Chilkoot Pass.
Is that right, Trap?
I don't know. My damn gun went off accidentally. I got caught before I could find out.
Well, gentlemen, it doesn't matter. We'll be ready for them either way.
Sharp. It might be just fishermen, but there's no sense taking chances. It
doesn't look like fishermen to me. Fog will get you turned at some selfish boys.
Yes, I'm afraid you're right. And they are coming fast.
Too fast.
Looks like they're going to try ramming us. Ahoy there! We're all armed! Stop that damn boat of yours or we'll open fire! Do you hear me? You have 5 seconds, then we start shooting.
By God, they're turning.
Yeah, staying with us.
Let's dock over there, Inspector. Tartar alongside.
A hell of a crowd on the wharf. Must be Sophie's men.
Yeah, but look at all the sailors on the gangway. They're all armed.
Steele must have got word through to the captain. Thank God. They were ready for Smith.
And you can bet that his bunch are armed. Could be a standoff.
Yes. Well, there's nothing we can do but keep heading in.
Ahoy there! Keep your bloody distance or we'll shoot!
Thank you, Captain. You and your men with those rifles are a very good sight.
Rifles? Smith might try something. Steel book works for us.
Now what?
We'll soon know. Here comes Smith.
And look at him. He's a cunning cool one if I ever saw one. Something over here. Is there nothing wrong? Smiling like the devil himself.
That's far enough, Smith. Well now, Captain. That's a fine-looking group of men you have there. Oh, and you're Inspector Wood, I believe.
That's right.
I'm glad to see you made it.
What do you want, Smith?
Oh, I was just wondering why you and your men don't hang around and visit Skagway for a while.
Your hospitality overwhelms me, Smith. But no thanks.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
And, I wouldn't insist if I were you. One of my men has a gun aimed right at your head.
Oh, I have no intentions of insisting, Inspector. Bon voyage! Have a good trip. Sorry you're not staying around for a while. Let's go, boys.
Well, I'll do. Never thought Sophie was back off from the spot. Well, something changed his mind. Come on, let's get our stuff aboard.
All right.
I don't understand it, Sophie. Why didn't you shoot it out with them?
I changed my mind. That's all.
Over $100,000 at stake.
Peanuts. Just peanuts, Bowers. And don't for a moment get the idea that I was afraid out there. I am not afraid of anyone or anything.
I know that, Sophie, and that's
never why mind. Besides, I have a little project I want you to start working on, Bowers.
Another one?
I want to start a fund for widows. Those poor, unfortunate women who have lost their husbands in the gold fields. And also for penniless chachacos.
You gotta be joking, Sophie. Hell, it was our own men that made most of them widows. And one way or another, they fleeced all the chachacos. Anything you spend to help them will be their own cash.
Setting up a soup kitchen won't cost much. You know, Bowers, the trouble with you, you have no talent for operation. You have to keep the suckers happy. I have a great fondness for the sucker.
Well, you should have. He's kept you well all these years.
Yes, he has. He has given me a good income, allowed me to live in a style I like. Yes, I must confess, I really like him. And that, of course, is no doubt the secret of my success. I really do like him. He knows it, and he trusts me.
And you take him?
Yes. But he must like me doing it. He keeps coming back for more.
The same easygoing grassroots kind of democracy that tolerated Soapy Smith and Skagway provided in the end the means to bring about his downfall. He met his death at the hands of a vigilante committee in a typical frontier American shooting match. It happened at the very height of the stampede on July 8, 1898, just 4 days after the 4th of July parade in Skagway, a parade which Smith himself had organized and led, riding on a white horse and accepting the cheers of a crowd to whom he had distributed free whiskey and candy and peanuts. You see, the Americans didn't like to be pushed around by people at the top. That's why when they crossed the border, they were often irritated by the mounted police who insisted on trying to save their lives by forcing them to bring enough food into the Yukon and making sure their boats were watertight and preventing them from shooting the rapids so recklessly. But the moment came in Skagway when Soapy Smith pushed too many people around. Specifically, his men robbed a Klondike miner blind. The merchants needed that Klondike business. They knew that the successful miners would do their best to bypass Skagway if this sort of thing kept up. And so, once again, the inevitable committee was elected and they met in the Juneau dock. Smith tried to break up the meeting.
Out of my way, Reed.
You're not breaking up this meeting, Smith. You're not running Skagway anymore. You're all through.
Damn you, Reed. You're at the bottom of all my troubles. You've always opposed me, always tried to turn the town against me. I should have got rid of you months ago. By God, I will now.
You're not fast enough, Smith. Stop and don't point that rifle at me.
Oh, don't shoot. For God's sake, don't. Oh.
Smith was killed, his gang rounded up, law and order reigned in Skagway. In death, he was much more valuable to Skagway than he was in life. Anybody who passes through Skagway to this very day will swiftly realize that Soapy Smith has become the town's main industry. His grave, his original saloon, even a painting of his skull on the cliffs overlooking the sea, all these have become tourist attractions. In my day, in the 30s, there was a Mrs. Pullen who used to give lectures to tourists about the death of Soapy Smith, which she had personally witnessed. I never heard that lecture because, as a native Yukoner, I wasn't allowed in. Like most sourdoughs, Mrs. Pullen wasn't above improving on a good story. But she didn't want to be caught at it.
Klondike, Part 3, with Pierre Burton. Prepared for radio by Bill Fraser. Original music composed and conducted by Tommy Banks. Douglas Wisk was heard as Soapy Smith and Jack Goff as Superintendent Steele. This program was made available to this station through the facilities of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.